Joe Clark has spent 3 decades in national politics as prime minister, foreign minister, and minister of constitutional affairs. He's also an author, and he and I spoke last year about his book, How We Lead. He's intensely interested and concerned about the role Canada can play in a rapidly changing world, and I'm guessing his bedside table is piled with books about that very subject. I'm very happy to say that the Right Honourable Joe Clark joins me today as a columnist on The Next Chapter to tell us about a book that he highly recommends. It's called Engaging China: Myth, Aspiration, and Strategy in Canadian Policy from Trudeau to Harper. It's by Paul Evans, and Joe Clark is in our Calgary studio. Joe, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Sheila. It's very good to be back.
Well, very happy to have you here. This sounds like a big and perhaps dense subject, but from what I understand, it's also a fairly compact book. Who do you think, besides former prime ministers, is the intended reader for this book?
I think any Canadian interested in knowing how we deal with the changing shape of our world. It is a dense subject, and one of the great strengths of the book is that it is a short book. It's a nonpartisan book. It very concisely deals with the history of Canadian relationships with China. Although when I deals with the history, it does not do that in an extensive way. And it, I guess, is premised on the notion that China is here to stay, and it is really here. It's where we live. There is as little chance of our getting away from a relationship with China than it is of our getting away from a relationship with the United States. They will be different, obviously. The differences that we have with China may well be more profound in some instances than with the USA, but it is there. And it is not a relation that we have developed as well as we should, either on a government-to-government basis. There have been times in which business has been more active, but I think that there is also a wide and deep residue of suspicion of China as another place, as a place that does not follow our standards in terms of human rights and other matters. And to some degree, that's true. They do not follow our standards. They follow their standards. But if we are going to be a country that is open to and successful in the world, successful economically, successful diplomatically, we are going to have to continue to find ways to work with societies that are strong but different from us.
Joe, you say that Paul Evans, who is a professor at the Institute of Asian Research at the University of British Columbia and a former head of the Asia-Pacific Foundation of Canada, you say it's nonpartisan, but does he have a point of view or a theory that he is advancing in engaging China?
Yeah, it is nonpartisan, but he clearly has a point of view, and he is very much interested in and very much hopeful that this book could become the beginning of public planning of a roadmap that could be followed by Canada starting quite quickly and going forward to define and shape Canada-China relations. He makes the point that we have been talking for a long time, at least since the grain sales to China in the Diefenbaker government, and more emphatically, since Mr. Trudeau's official recognition of China. We've been talking about Canada's engagement with China. And that does not mean agreement. Engagement and agreement are often very different things. And what he is suggesting, what he's trying to point out, are ways in which that engagement can be made both contemporary, fit existing realities, but also very strong.
It does seem, though, that an anxiety has emerged that if we don't engage with China economically and take advantage of business opportunities, that we'll be eating China's dust, so to speak. How does Paul Evans deal with the economic cooperation / competition angle?
Simply by saying that it is there. I think if I were to talk about the purpose of this book, it would be to provide an understanding of what has been in the relation and what is inevitable in the relation, the contact being inevitable, as a prelude to having an informed and active discussion about precisely how we deal with some of those issues. Some of those issues have come up very acutely lately. The the purchase by a Chinese company of Nexen being one.
Right.
Their interest in other resources. Well, it would be far better if our response to those challenges were a considered and informed response based upon a fairly broad public debate. In the past, when debates of that kind have been undertaken, they tended to be government-led. In this case, it is going to have to be a broader debate than that, a much more public debate.
This past summer, relations between China and Canada were strained. The government accused China of a cyber attack on the National Research Council, and China arrested a Canadian couple in China who own a coffee shop and accused them of stealing state secrets. I as far as the timing of Dr. Evans' book goes, does he address or was he able to address this kind of suspicion between Canada and China?
Only generally in noting that that is always going to happen. There are always going to be tensions. One could say there always are in relations with powerful countries. But in this case, those tensions are exacerbated by the fact that there are some deep suspicions about China. Some of them are about its history, whether that was a history as a communist-controlled country, or about its treatment of its attitude towards human rights, which is an issue very important to Canada. So those issues are going to be there. There has been a view in the past, it's one I share, that Canada can in fact have some influence on the way China approaches some of those issues where concerns arise, not least with regard to human rights. At earlier stages in Canadian history, there have been important things done with regard to discussion of court systems, for example, systems of justice, systems of governance that would work in China. And Canada has some credibility on some of those questions. But the tensions will be there. That's why the debate is so important. It's always easier to work with important partners who are like you. In this modern world, fewer and fewer of our important partners are going to be just like us. Mm. And so we have to develop and refine our capacity, at which Canada generally is pretty good, I argue, to deal with people to get the best out of relations with those who aren't like us. And some of these strains will develop into very serious problems. They do with almost all of our allies at one point or another. No one is proposing this would be trouble-free, but it is important that we deal with China with contemporary eyes and a clear understanding of what the dynamics are.
Joe, this is a book that's written by an academic. I wonder how accessible it is as a reading experience for a person with an average level of interest in Canada's relationship with China.
I think most people would find it very accessible. It has the advantage of being short, too, which is another factor. And it's very informative. And I find it very forward-looking. It suggests things that we can do. But there needs to be a debate. Dr. Evans' book, Engaging China, sets forth the information that can be the basis of that debate. And my own hope is that there will then be a much broader participation by people who might start with this book or people who might have different views, different analysis than is set out here, but nonetheless leads to that kind of Canadian discussion.
Joe, it's wonderful to have you here as a columnist, and I hope if there's a book that catches your fancy, we'd love to know about it.
Thank you very much, Sheila.
The Right Honorable Joe Clark is the author of How We Lead, and today he was talking about the book Engaging China by Dr. Paul Evans.